They began walking back to the river. They paused a moment on top of a tall hill. The sun was almost directly overhead. They could see for many miles along the river and also across the river. Although they were too far away to make out any figures on the other side of the mile-wide stream, they could see the mushroom-shaped structures there. The terrain on the other side was the same as that on theirs. A mile-wide plain, perhaps 2.5 miles of foothills covered with trees. Beyond the straight-up face of an insurmountable black and bluish-green mountain. North and south, the valley ran straight for about 10 miles. Then it curved, and the river was lost to sight.
"Sunrise must come late and sunset early," Burton said. "Well, we must make the most of the bright hours."
At that moment, everybody jumped and many cried out. A blue flame arose from the top of each stone structure, soared up at least 20 feet, then disappeared. A few seconds later, a sound of distant thunder passed them. The boom struck the mountain behind them and echoed. Burton scooped up the little girl in his arms and began to trot down the hill. Though they maintained a good pace, they were forced to walk from time to time to regain their breaths. Nevertheless, Burton felt wonderful. It had been so many years since he could use his muscles so profligately that he didn't want to stop enjoying the sensation. He could scarcely believe that only a short time ago his right foot had been swollen with gout and his heart had beaten wildly if he climbed a few steps. They came to the plain and continued trotting, for they could see that there was much excitement around one of the structures. Burton swore at those in his way and pushed them aside. He got black looks, but no one tried to push back. Abruptly, he was in the space cleared around the base, and he saw what had attracted them. He also smelled it. Frigget, behind him, said, "Oh, my God," and tried to retch on his empty stomach. Burton had seen too much in his lifetime to be easily affected by grisly sights. Moreover, he could take himself to one remove from reality when things became too grim or too painful. Sometimes he made the move, the sidestepping of things as they were, with an effort of will. Usually it occurred automatically. In this case, the displacement was done automatically. The corpse lay on its side and half under the edge of the mushroom top. Its skin was completely burned off and the naked muscles were charred. The nose and ears, fingers, toes, and the genitals had been burned away or were only shapeless stubs. Near it, on her knees, was a woman mumbling a prayer in Italian. She had huge black eyes which would have been beautiful if they hadn't been reddened and puffy with tears. She had a magnificent figure which would have caught all his attention under different circumstances. "What happened?" he said. The woman stopped praying and looked at him. She got to her feet and whispered, "Father Giuseppe was leaning against the rock. He said he was hungry. He said he didn't see much sense in being brought back to life only to starve to death. I said that we wouldn't die. How could we? We'd been raised from the dead, and we'd be provided for. He said maybe we were in hell. We'd go hungry and naked forever. I told him not to blaspheme. Of all people, he should be the last to blaspheme. But he said that this was not what he'd been telling everybody for 40 years would happen, and then... Burton waited a few seconds, and then said, "And then?" "Father Giuseppe said that at least there wasn't any hellfire, but that that would be better than starving for eternity. And then the flames reached out and wrapped him inside them, and there was a noise like a bomb exploding, and then he was dead, burned to death. It was horrible, horrible." Burton moved north of the corpse to get the wind behind him, but even here the stench was sickening. It was not the odor as much as the idea of death that upset him. The first day of the resurrection was only half over, and a man was dead. Did this mean that the resurrected were just as vulnerable to death as in earth life? If so, what sense was there to it? Frigate had quit trying to heave on an empty stomach. Pale and shaking, he got to his feet and approached Burton. He kept his back turned to the dead man.
"Hadn't we better get rid of that?" he said, jerking his thumb over his shoulder.
"I suppose so," Burton said coolly. "It's too bad his skin is ruined, though."
He grinned at the American. Frigate looked even more shocked.
"Here,
Burton said. Grab hold of his feet. I'll take the other end. We'll toss him into the river.